Welcome to Locked On Yankees. I'm Jesse Spector, your host here in Locked On Yankees, editor of LockedOnYankees.com. I am a lifelong New Yorker, former daily news and sporting news guy, now found in a variety of other places as a freelancer, including here. It'll be fun. Let's have fun. And, well, you know, the Yankees stopped having fun on Monday night. Winning streak is over at 9 games, so that goes down as their longest since 2012, but that was a 10-gamer. They could not match that. Sonny Gray gave it a real good shot, though. Best start that he's had in quite some time. He winds up going 6 innings, gives up 2 runs on 4 hits. Walked 3 more, so that's still a problem for him, and only 4 strikeouts. It's a tough Astros lineup, though, and you know, to hold those guys to 4 hits over 6 innings is nothing to sneeze at as Sonny Gray tries to rebuild himself. You know, we're actually talking about Sonny Gray having gone 6 innings, so that's a step in the right direction for him. His ERA is now down to 6.67. Still does take the loss, goes to 1-2 on the season, and I really do promise that we're going to get to talk about wins and losses and exactly how to gauge them and what they mean at some point, but today is not that day. Too much going on with this Yankees-Astros series, a rematch of last year's ALCS, and you know, it's the Yankees going down to Houston, and it's a 2-1 loss for them in the series opener here. And if that seems familiar to you, well, it probably should, because the Yankees went down to Houston, lost Game 1 of the ALCS 2-1, lost Game 2 of the ALCS 2-1 before they went home, won the 3 games, and then got crushed in Game 6, and of course the 4-0 loss in Game 7, in which Charlie Morton was on the mound. And Charlie Morton continued his mastery of the Yankees on Monday night. 102 pitches in 7 2/3 innings. I feel like we've been used to seeing pitchers against the Yankees this season approaching that kind of pitch level in the 4th or 5th inning. And, you know, it's a tribute to Charlie Morton just how effective he was. And I think that, you know, you could say that this kind of provides a roadmap for how to beat the Yankees. Don't give up a lot of hits. Hold them without a hit until Austin Romine can come up with a single, second time through the order, and then keep the walks down. Charlie Morton in this game walked only 2. He struck out 10. Pretty impressive to keep the pitch count as low as he did while striking out 10. But he was throwing a ton of strikes. You know, he threw 67 of 102 for strikes, and he was getting quick at bats early in the game. He was only averaging about 10 pitches per inning for the first few there, and that's a key against this Yankee team, but they don't let you do that very often. And you know, Brett Gardner usually gives you better at bats than that. Didi Gregorius has been taking longer at bats. Giancarlo Stanton gives you long at bats, and Aaron Judge does too. Aaron Judge was not in the lineup to start this game, first time all season that was the case. We'll get to that a little bit later on. We'll also get to some injury updates, recovery stuff, talk about that. But I also wanted to get into, on this game, the Yankees' bullpen, because the Yankees avoided using Chad Green, David Robertson, Aroldis Chapman, the big three right now out of the bullpen, especially with, you know, Canely and Warren on the shelf. Dylan Betances pitched a 1-2-3 inning. Jonathan Holder, also the non-traditional 1-2-3 inning. He gave up a single to Carlos Correa, got Yuli Gurriel to hit into a double play. Those two guys are, Betances especially, is important here to get him going on the right wavelength. And he's been better lately. You know, Betances has pitched a little bit better. He's kept it clean in 3 of the last 4 outings, and the other one was an unearned run that he gave up against the Twins. So, you know, I should say 4 out of 5 now, because this was the 5th. 4 out of 5 that he's pitched scoreless innings. The game against the Twins where he gave up the unearned run, you know, he gave up 2 walks in that one. That's the thing for Betances, is keeping the walks under control. And in six of his last seven outings, he has not issued a walk. So Dylan Betances, after some real early struggles, is starting to tend a little bit more in the right direction. And that's something the Yankees want to see, because he, when he's on, you know, can be just as good, if not, you know, he's in that mix where, you know, you can think about him closing games. He's been a closer for the Yankees, you know, at the end of the 2016 season and early last year when Aroldis Chapman was out serving his suspension. So that is an encouraging thing for the Yankees with Dylan Betances. And then Jonathan Holder is a guy who just got completely lit up to start the season. And since coming back from the minors, it's been much better for him. You know, he's still rocking that 7.04 ERA, but the last few times out here, it's been a lot better for Jonathan Holder. He's come back and he pitched two scoreless innings against the Blue Jays, one each against the Twins and Angels, and now one against the Astros. This was actually the first hit that Holder had allowed since coming back from the minors. So it takes time to get the ERA down to where you want it to be. But after those early real troublesome outings against the Rays and Orioles, Jonathan Holder has gotten himself back into a place where he can at least be used in a game like this. And this is the kind of game where, you know, you're not talking about a mop-up situation. That's kind of why AJ Cole is on the roster right now, if you need somebody to be your mop-up guy. Jonathan Holder is there, really, you know, to give you the inning to keep you in the game. And that's what he did. He kept the Yankees in the game, and then, you know, they were down 2-1 at the time that he came in, having scored in the top of the eighth, and he held the Astros right there against good hitters. So that's a really encouraging sign for him as the month of April comes to a close. He was a guy that started the season on the team and then was off the team and had to come back because of the variety of injuries that the Yankees had. It was a tumultuous first month of the season. I know the Yankees also played games in March, but they wrap up the month of April at 18-10, second in the American League East behind the Red Sox, who did beat the Kansas City Royals on Monday night, so that they close it out at 21-7. So the Yankees, three games back at the close of the first month, and they head into May facing probably their toughest month on the schedule this season with all they've got. And we've talked about that before. Obviously, it starts here with the rest of this four game set in Houston, three games left there, and then heading home to face Cleveland and Boston. Now the Yankees have done well so far in this test. I know they get the loss to start the series in Houston, but sweeping three from the Angels after having swept the Twins at home, another playoff team from last year. You kind of got to like where the Yankees are at as far as what they've done with this first month of the season, because it was in a place, you know, you think back 2 weeks, this was in a place where things could have really gone sideways for the Yankees, and it didn't. They've straightened it out, and yeah, it's a tough loss in Houston, but it's not a bad loss to start this series, and the way that Sonny Gray had been going, you kind of had the thought that maybe this would be a bad loss. So before we move on, I should tell you that if you'd like to advertise on Locked On Yankees, you should. And how you can do that is send an email to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. Do it today. lockedonnyy@gmail.com. All right, let's continue here with little injury update. Brandon Drury continuing his recovery from the severe migraines that caused the blurred vision, and it seems like all is going well with him. Drury is in Scranton, AAA, played his fifth rehab game on Monday and went 1-for-3. He's had hits in all five games that he's played for the Rail Riders. He's 7-for-16 with a pair of doubles on the rehab assignment, so it seems like he's just about ready. It really seems like he probably is ready, but he's going to stay with Scranton until the Yankees return home at the end of the week. That's what Aaron Boone said before the game on Monday, that, you know, he's not going to join the team in Houston. There's no reason to rush Brandon Drury back the way that Miguel Andujar has played. So you got that going. And you know, Andujar in this game in Houston was 0-for-3. So he's hit a little bit of a patch here, but you know, it's not like the Yankees hit a whole lot as a team on Monday night. And it wasn't like the Yankees hit a whole heck of a lot against Tyler Skaggs when Andujar went 0-for-3 on Sunday night. Only one strikeout in each game, so not like he's been overpowered. And the way that he's hit, you know, he's still got the 12 doubles in 20 games now. So this is a guy who's come up and he has hit and shown that he belongs in the major leagues, and he's looked fine at third base. So that question of what happens when Brandon Drury comes back, keep an eye out at the end of the week, because we're going to have a better sense of it. And you know, Neil Walker continues to do himself no favors. He took another 0-for-3 on Monday night, another strikeout, now down to a 165 average and 402 OPS. It is not going the way that anybody wanted it to with Neil Walker and the Yankees, which is too bad, because he's a good player. He's a better player than what he's shown with the Yankees. And you feel like it's going not at all, according to plan. Meanwhile, Clint Frazier is up to Scranton after doing a Tampa portion of his rehab as he works his way back from a concussion. Frazier did not play in Monday. I don't know if he made it to Scranton in time for that one. But either way, you think that Clint Frazier is going to be in Scranton for a while. You just kind of have to wonder if AAA generally is best for him, so that he can get regular at-bats to further his development, because he's not a guy that you want to call up to sit on the bench. He's a top prospect. I know that kind of graduated from that, but he's still in that set where you want him playing. You want him getting regular at-bats, because you don't want to stop his development as a potential star Major League Baseball player, whether that's with you or with somebody else down the road. You know, if you're thinking about trading Clint Frazier still, the trade value is not going to be helped by Clint Frazier sitting on the bench in the major leagues and stalling his development. You want it to be a situation where some team comes calling and you can say, well, this guy's hitting the cover off the ball and scramble, we just don't have a spot for him up here. Question is, do the Yankees have a spot for him up here? Because you know, Brett Gardner had the only RBI for the Yankees on Monday night. He singled home Gleyber Torres in the eighth inning. But Gardner is, you know, another two strikeouts. Hasn't really hit very much at all for the first month of the season. But April's never really been Brett Gardner's bag. He's always kind of been a guy that heats up a little bit more as May and June roll around. So we'll see if that happens. Aaron Hicks has also not really hit a whole heck of a lot since he got back from the oblique. Was it an oblique? Aaron Hicks' injury. Why am I thinking oblique? Either way, since Aaron Hicks got back from the disabled list, hasn't had the... It was a muscle strain. It wasn't really a shoulder injury. All right. Whatever it was. Shoulder injury, I guess. easy for me to say and Google and remember all at the same time and not really. It was an oblique last year for Hicks. That's what it was. So he hasn't really hit. So you look at it, and you don't want... It's tough, because you don't like to see it happen the way that it's happened here with Brandon Drury, where he might be losing his job because of an injury. And that's why guys don't report this stuff. We've got this toxic culture, but that's really the reason why. Is because guys don't want to lose their job. You don't want to go on the disabled list with migraines and come back to find out that Miguel Andujar has taken your job from you. It stinks. That's a really tough thing for Brandon Drury. And I get it. I get that, you know, you're working your way up to the majors, and that's why you know, and you're fighting for playing time once you get there. You don't want something that you think that you can get through on your own to be the thing that derails you. And, you know, he finally got to a point where he couldn't take it anymore. And now it might be a situation where he loses his job as a result of it. And that stinks. At the same time, it also stinks if, like, Brett Gardner or Aaron Hicks is going to lose out on playing time because they're just not hitting. But, you know, because they're established major league dudes. But maybe that's the way that it winds up being on a team that's as loaded with talent as the Yankees are. And, you know, a lot of stuff changes between now and October. So nothing that happens can be really seen as permanent. Even once you get to October, how many times have you seen a guy, you know, who's been a bench kind of guy for most of the year wind up in a prominent role? So it's one of those where if you're on this team, you just got to keep your head up because opportunities are going to present themselves at some time, you know, over the remaining 5 months or even into October. And when that happens, you've just got to make the most of it. But it's tough one way or the other. It's a tough situation. And the Yankees, it's a good problem to have, but it's also just tough emotionally because you're not looking at people that really deserve to have their jobs lost as a result of whether it's injury or simply even, you know, not playing well in a place where you might get a shorter leash than you would get on other teams and that would have the lack of ability to plug somebody else in, because the Yankees do have that ability. So that is that's tough, and it's something to keep in mind as we go forward. What you should keep in mind is that if you've not left a review for Locked On Yankees on your podcasting service of choice, we would really encourage you to do so, because that's what helps get the word out about the podcast. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on Spotify, Last.fm, Podbean, pretty much anywhere you can name. If you're not finding us wherever you are, send an email to LockedOnNYY@gmail.com or tweet to @LockedOnYankees, and we'll figure out how to get the podcast where you need it to be. Haven't really heard from anybody on that, so hopefully that continues to be a good thing. All right, last thing today is, like I said before, Aaron Judge did not get a start for the first time this year in the Yankees series opener in Houston. And I'm cool with this. I understand it, and Judge wound up being important to what the Yankees wind up doing to score a run and get back in the game. He finally did come into the game. And he pinch hit for Austin Romine after Gleyber Torres had gotten a two-out double. So, yeah, Judge came in and he drew a walk. Torres stole third. Judge moved up to second on the Brett Gardner single that got the Yankees on the board. But Judge was ultimately stranded at second. You know, you think about how much Charlie Morton dominated the Yankees in this game, and they got the tying run into scoring position in the eighth inning anyway. Put the winning go-ahead run on base. So this is clearly a Yankees team that's never out of it until the very end. And, you know, they were swinging up there with Stanton and Sanchez and Hicks all representing the tying run at the plate. You're not going to win a whole lot of games when Gary Sanchez and Giancarlo Stanton and Didi Gregorius combined to go 0-for-11 with a walk and 8 strikeouts, especially with Judge out of the lineup. But the Yankees almost pulled it off. But as far as sitting Judge goes, you know, Aaron Boone explained it before the game that, you know, this is a guy who did have off-season shoulder surgery, and to this point he's played every game. He still played every game because he got into this one. But, you know, to this point had started every game. And there's been nothing wrong with Judge, but you know, you do want to do that physical maintenance just to keep it that way. And the Yankees are in the midst of this 18-day stretch of games every day. I haven't had any days off or postponements during it. So they've got 3 more here in Houston before they come home to face Cleveland. And, yeah, I get it. I get resting Judge against a pitcher who, obviously, you know, handled the whole Yankees lineup last October. And I like it from the situational point of you go down to Houston and it's an ALCS rematch, but at the same time you're not putting so big of a spotlight on it that you feel like you can't take Aaron Judge out of the lineup for a day. And does it maybe cost the Yankees a game because Aaron Judge isn't in there to work counts and all that? I don't know. You know, there's a lot of things that you can look at that way. If Judge is in there and Sanchez is catching Gray, do the Yankees, you know, Austin Romine got the first hit in this game. So that's tough. I like Boone spotting it that way and the way that it serves to de-emphasize that this has anything to do with last year. And maybe I'm reading too much into that. But I think that there's a lot of managers who would look at this as, oh, you know, this is a big series. This is against the defending world champs. This is against the team that knocked us out last year. We want to go down there to Houston and prove something. And yeah, there's an element, I'm sure, of Boone looking at it that way. But overall, it's fine that this is how he approached it and that this is the spot that he chose to give Aaron Judge his first bench time of the season. And, you know, figure he'll be back on the in the lineup on Tuesday. Yankees have Luis Severino going against Dallas Keuchel. Yankees have all of this right-handed thunder in their lineup. They've got to feel like they've got a good chance to get back on the trolley and win for the 10th time in 11 games. We'll see if they do. Hopefully you'll come back as well. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.